across the UK.
This is BBC Five Live with Phil Williams.
At 11:39, Tuesday night, I'll introduce you to our big Tuesday night interviewees, two for the price of one tonight, I know. And we're joined tonight by Cam Adair, who knows what gaming addiction feels like. He's the founder of Game Quitters, which is an online support network that helps people in over 90 countries around the world, a consultant for the Edge Gaming Addiction Programme, and by his own admission, at his lowest point. And he's currently here in the UK speaking to parents and young people and professionals about gaming addictions. And he's joined in our London studio tonight by Andy Leach, who's a psychotherapist and accredited addictions counsellor at The Cabin in Thailand, where Andy helps to run the Edge Addiction Treatment Programme. Evening to both of you.
Good evening. Thanks Hello. For having us.
Yeah, well, it's nice to speak to you again. And first of all, Cam, how are you finding the tour that you're doing at the moment, and what are young people saying to you?
It's been wonderful to be here and just speaking with the young people. It's, you know, this is obviously an issue that is impacting people all over the world, but especially here in the UK. And about 10% of people who come to Game Quitters for help are from the UK, which is about the third or fourth largest country represented. And so it is a big problem. And ultimately, the young people have really come and taken on the message of just healthy gaming, balanced use, keeping it from being the only thing that you're doing. And overall, they've been really receptive to that.
What age are we talking? What range?
Well, I've been speaking to sixth form a lot.
Right.
And
so
yeah,
16, anything, 17.
Yeah. And I think one of the colleges or schools we spoke at, it was like anything from 12 to 17, they were able to be there.
And Andy's alongside you, a trained psychotherapist and accredited addictions counsellor. Hi, Andy.
Hello.
What are the similarities in gaming addiction compared to addictions that people might be more familiar with, like, say, drug or alcohol dependency?
Well, what we see in terms of the presentation of when addiction takes hold, it's virtually identical. So in terms of gaming addiction, we see people sort of dropping out of school, it affecting their sleep patterns, their health, their diet, their ability to sort of have a healthy balance in their life. From my point of view, working in the field of addiction, this is no different to anything else that I've seen in the years that I've worked in this field. But again, actually, so gaming is straying into the gambling area as well. So basically, it's just another way of escaping reality, an avoidance.
Andy, Cam did a really good TED Talk. I'm sure if you weren't there, you'd have seen it.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why I'm asking you about this is because you're the psychotherapist and you're the addictions counsellor. But the point he made specifically to gaming addiction is that it is reward-based, isn't it? So if you're lonely, if you've struggled to make friends at school, and I know a lot of these cliches are thrown at gamers and they're not always appropriate to each gamer, but if there is some kind of issue there, or maybe the schoolwork isn't hitting the grade you want it to, if you can find yourself being good at a game, the reward from the game fuels the addiction. I found that fascinating.
Absolutely. I mean, but it's not to say that gaming per se is addictive. So gaming itself can be perfectly wonderful way of spending your time.
Yeah.
But there are certain people who the way that they process reward can become addictive. This is all to do. I mean, addiction is a disease, an illness,
the World Health.
Defined by American Society of Addiction Medicine, the World Health Organization, it's a disease of brain reward, memory and learning. So it's all to do with how your brain learns to get rewarded. So you do that through the release of the sort of neurotransmitter of dopamine, which is a sort of pleasure chemical that tells you, oh, this feels good, I'll do it again. But some people who are prone to addiction don't process that neurotransmitter in the way that others do. In fact, what happens is that they're left feeling that wasn't enough, I need more. So therefore, they continue to sort of strive for that fix. So when I said earlier about how this is very similar to drug addiction, it is, because ultimately everyone's just looking for that fix. They're looking for what we call homeostasis. They're looking to find balance in their life. They're looking to feel rewarded and to just feel comfortable in themselves. And with many addicts, when we talk to them, we find out that they're not comfortable. They're lacking in self-esteem. They're they're anxious, they're depressed, and what they're trying to do is fix that. And so gaming gives them illusion, I believe, of reward. So it's a temporary illusion. It says, yes, this is doing it. I get so socially connected. I don't have to sort of be socially anxious because I can just sort of, there's a barrier between me and reality. So ultimately, you're learning certain skills, but you're not learning skills which will help you out in the real world.
On a personal note for both of you, but Cam, for you first, if I had said to you when you're at the height of your gaming, your 16-hour gaming, if I had said to you, you know what, in a few years' time, you're going to be travelling the world talking to other people about the perils and pitfalls of gaming addiction, what would you have said to me?
I don't even know if I would have even been able to understand what the hell you were talking about. And, you know, even now, you know, I started speaking about this since 2011. And back then it was, you know, me just kind of responding to emails and comments I was getting from gamers coming forward asking for help. I never even dreamed of it being officially recognized. And, you know, I waited 4 years before we actually launched GameQuarters.com. And during that time, you know, I thought surely someone would come forward, an organization or a government, and no one did. So I finally was like, fine, I'll do it. I'll create this website and I'll try and do whatever I can to help people. But now, 4 years later, looking at my life, it's honestly surreal. I literally travel all over the world. I was just in Australia, US. You know, I fly off to Thailand soon, and Hong Kong and Japan, Finland this year, Singapore, all these places. And, you know, we had 800 parents show up to a parent talk I did recently a couple weeks ago in Australia. You know, it's just a surreal life. It's weird. I've done 20 BBC interviews in the past week. And the most important thing, though, is that people are coming forward asking for help and getting that help now. And whether it's just peer support through Game Quitters, some educational resources, whether it's just being more willing to seek professional support in therapy, or whether it's, you know, for more severe cases, going to something like The Cabin in Chiang Mai for residential treatment. I'm just happy that people are getting the help they need.
And what about you, Andy? You went through a period, I understand, of treatment for addiction. If I'd have said to you then, this will now change your life and it will become your life.
It's been an incredible journey. I'm so privileged to be able to sort of help people with any form of addiction. It's a wonderful experience, but I have to say it was a lot of hard work, and I don't take credit for it. I had a huge amount of help, but I was willing to get that help. So for instance, so if there is anyone listening who has problems with gaming addiction, the first step would be to sort of reach out to someone like Cam and his self-help groups at Game Quitters, you know, and basically just get the help. Really, don't suffer in silence. And also, people, reach out to your friends. If you see someone having a problem, disappearing socially, just not, you know, not coming to events that you are inviting them to, say what's going on, talk to people.
That's really important, Andy, isn't it? Because sometimes with this, you have to spot the warning signs in your friends before your friends are willing to help themselves.
Yes, absolutely. And part of it will be withdrawal, lack of connection. So they're basically feeling more connected when they're online to sort of actually in the real world. And just notice that and just sort of reach out and say, well, what is actually going on? Can I help you? What, you know, and talk to people on an emotional level.
And if I may jump in,
of course,
that's what saved my life ultimately was, you know, a friend, the night I was writing a suicide note, the friend sent me a text and just said, hey, do you want to go see the movie Superbad? And I said, yeah, sure, that'd be great. And she just invited me to go out. Her name's Ainsley, recently. And I think sometimes, you know, someone might be a bit defensive about you coming at them around, you know, what's going on or we need to talk. Sometimes just inviting them to go for a walk or go to the gym or go see a movie can be the difference in saving their life.
Yeah, just a really simple human interaction. Thank you both for making the time to speak to us again. Cam, best way for people to get in touch with your research and your data is through Game Quitters, right?
That's correct. GameQuitters.com, Game Quitters on YouTube. And thanks so much for having us again, Phil.
No, a pleasure. And Andy, The Cabin is now where you work, isn't it, in Thailand?
Absolutely, yes.
And that is for more of a residential retreat, is that right?
Residential treatment, yeah. And we have a specific program for young men 18 to 26 called The Edge, which is residential but has a wilderness element. We take people out into the jungles, take them Thai kickboxing, whitewater rafting, elephants, etc. Amazing program.
And that's theedgerehab.com. Mm.
Right. Thanks, gents. Thanks. Appreciate it indeed.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, that's Andy Leach, psychotherapist and accredited addiction.